And our scripture this morning comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. About a month ago, Ben and I were on vacation in Washington State. We stayed a few days in this town called Stehekin, which has no roads that you can drive into it. So you have to take a boat from one end of a lake to the other end of the lake to get to the town. And then once you're there, you can mostly just travel around either by walking or you can rent bikes. And so one day we decide we're going to rent bikes to go on a ride from the town to the entrance of North Cascades National Park. We know it's about 11 miles out and 11 miles back. And so we go early in the morning to the bike rental, and there they rent regular bikes and electric bikes. But we're both feeling confident, so we get the regular bikes. After all, Ben bikes a whole lot, and I bike some. And so a 22-mile ride really isn't much in our minds. And so we get our bikes, and we ride like a mile to the bakery on the outskirts of town for breakfast. And that's great, and then we start out for real. And so we're riding along, and within the first mile or so after breakfast, I'm really starting to struggle. At first, I think maybe I'm just getting used to a different bike. And then I think maybe it's because we're biking on gravel roads and not paved roads. And then I think, well, maybe it's because I have a really nice bike here at home that somebody gave me, and it's like way nicer than my actual biking ability. And so I think, well, maybe this bike just isn't as good. We're doing some rolling hills every once in a while, so there'll be like a slight uphill and a slight downhill, but nothing that looks too strenuous. So at first, I'm just trying to make it through and not complain too much. And so I start telling Ben quite frequently that I want to stop and look at the views along the bike ride, which it was very pretty, mountains in the background and clear water from the glaciers melting. But eventually, all the scenic stops start to look the same. So he's catching on to my reason for stopping. Now, finally, we make it the 11 miles out to the national park. And we walk around there a bit, and we eat a snack. And I tell Ben, like, look, I'm going to make it back because there's no other option, but it's going to take me a really long time. And so we turn around, and we start going back. And we quickly realize that our 11 miles out had actually been a gradual uphill the entire time. We were working so hard because we had just climbed for 11 straight miles without realizing it. And so now we're doing 11 miles downhill. We barely pedal. We make it back in about 45 minutes, which isn't fast if you're like a real bike rider, but is really fast for me. And over again, I think, how did we not realize we had been going uphill the whole time on the way out? Why were we working so hard, and why couldn't we figure out why it was happening? Now, a version of this happens all the time in our lives. We try so hard. We keep going, and we keep pushing, and we start to wonder, why am I trying so hard? And this all just keeps getting harder. We do it in our relationships. We think if we just love more, if we just give more time to the person, if we just push a little harder, then maybe somebody in our lives who is struggling will be able to turn their life around. We do it when we try to accumulate wealth and more. We think that if we just work longer hours and we fight for more promotions and we hoard more of what we earn for ourselves, then maybe we'll be able to live comfortably in the life that we desire. And we do it even in our faith lives. We think that if we just pray more, if we just do more at church, if we just serve more and read the Bible more, well, then we'll get closer to God and everything will just seem easier. We try and try to work our way closer to God without ever realizing that this is all an uphill battle. That's the false narrative that James Bryan Smith presents in this chapter of the book, The Good and Beautiful God. The false narrative that we work our way to God. That having a relationship with God is mostly about what we're doing to get closer to God. And in reality, sometimes we like to think of it that way because it allows us to be in control. It allows us to seem strong. It allows a clear and logical way for us to get to God. The problem is that this is the uphill bike riding way. It's difficult, and we can't figure out why it's not working quite like it should. Why are we still struggling so much in our faith? Why does knowing God still seem so hard? Well, it's because we aren't living into the way that God has designed the relationship to go. Because we don't work our way to God. God works his way to us. This is always who God has been. God has always been moving towards us. From the very beginning of creation, when God created humans to be in relationship with him and moved among them in the garden, to when God called the Israelites to be his people, when God rescued them from slavery and brought them to the promised land, to time and time again in the Old Testament, when the people failed and God revealed to them through a prophet after prophet that God's grace was still there for them, that God was still going to get another chance. And it's this God on the move towards us that we continue to see in Jesus. That's what this scripture that we read this morning from the letter to the Philippians shows us. Now, this scripture from Philippians, it reads a little differently, and if you were to look it up in your Bible, you would notice that it's printed in almost a poetry form and not the normal sentence form of the rest of the letter. The reason for this is that we're pretty sure that Paul here is quoting a hymn that they would use in the early church. So these words that we read would have been words that the Philippians would have been familiar with. They would have been words that they sang when they gathered together for worship. And so Paul uses these lyrics to remind the Philippians of a God who moves towards us. Then in Jesus, we have a God who went to any means necessary to work his way towards us. Jesus didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that though Jesus had all the power and privilege that comes with being God, he did not think so highly of himself that he was just content to sit in heaven and be divine. Jesus had the power to make us be the ones who had to work his way towards him. Jesus could have said, "I am here in heaven, and these are the things you have to do to get here too." But that's not what he did. Because we have a God who moves towards us out of humility and vulnerability. Out of this humility and love for us, Christ became human, leaving behind the power and luxury of heaven so that he could experience all that we experience and even more. These words remind us that we believe in a God who wasn't just going to sit in heaven and be like silly humans down there feeling sadness and grief and sorrow and joy and hope and love and all your human stuff. But rather, we believe in a God who in Jesus says, "Oh, your human sadness and grief and sorrow and joy and hope and love. I've been there. I know what it's like to feel those things. I know what it's like to experience human life. I'm not above that. I was there. We believe in a humble God who even experienced human death. Jesus shows us a God who is self-sacrificing and that he humbles himself and becomes obedient, even to death on a cross. That Jesus was so willing to do whatever it takes to work his way towards us that he even died. That he moves towards us in our suffering and in our weakness and in our defeat, and then suffers right alongside us in order to defeat anything that might separate us from him. And perhaps the greatest show of power, Jesus empties himself of power and strength and becomes human, weak and vulnerable to be near to us. He's here with us. He knows our pain and our grief and our hardship. And all that work that we're doing to try to get closer to him, the doing more and the trying harder and the showing strength at all costs, Jesus says, "My sweet child, you don't have to keep living like this. Stop trying to get to me. I've already come to you. I'm here. Stop trying to pedal uphill. Turn around. Coast downhill. You'll find me at the bottom." Often in our lives, we view our faith as a fist clenched and holding on for dear life. We think if we just have a stronger faith, if we just believe more, if we just doubt less, if we just do more, if we just grasp on to Jesus with all that we can, he'll be there. He won't leave us, and we'll all be okay. But that grasping, it's exhausting. And so when we free ourselves from trying to work our way to God and trust that God is working his way to us, we can have the faith of an open hand. A faith that says we trust that God is moving towards us, and that if we're open to Jesus, he will be there alongside our suffering and our pain and our struggles. That to have a strong faith might actually mean that we appear weak and vulnerable. That it's not us up to us to hold on, but that Jesus is there, reaching out, grasping for us. Now, this all sounds great, but it can be difficult to live out, especially for those of us who don't like to appear weak or vulnerable. And look, I'm one of those people. I would much rather appear strong and competent and put together than weak and vulnerable. When I told some of my friends the topic of this chapter I was preaching on this week, their reaction was, "Oh, you're going to hate that." And then they proceeded to give me all these examples from my life that I could share about times that I was vulnerable and weak. And I thought, I don't want to do any of that. And so look, it's really easy for me to live into this false narrative that I can work my way to God. I know that I need to be reminded of the truth that God works his way even more to us. Because the truth is, I don't always have it all together. I'm not always strong. When at the beginning of this year I picked the word bravery as my word for the year, I picked it because I wanted to be strong and brave and together in the face of change and transition and whatever else would happen this year. And yet more and more, God has revealed to me that there's actually way more bravery in being honest and vulnerable and saying, God, I actually can't do any of this without you. And in trusting that in reality, I don't have to. That I don't have to be strong on my own, that I don't have to be competent on my own, that I don't have to be together on my own, because God is already here. That Jesus working his way to us, that Jesus leaving the comforts of heaven and living among us, that Jesus going even to death to be near to us, is actually the ultimate example of bravery. In weakness and in vulnerability and in sacrifice, Jesus shows us true strength of working his way to be in relationship with us. And so we respond with that open hand faith to know that we don't rely on our own strength, but that we can be honest and vulnerable and humble and even weak. We do that in our own faith lives. We do that by being honest in prayer, by telling God what we're actually feeling and going through, because God is actually already there with us. And we can do that in our own faith lives through practices of contemplation and examine, by taking time to really ask ourselves where it is we're feeling weak and run down and vulnerable and offering those places to Jesus, by taking time to confess those areas where we're trying to work our way to God. And we do this as we live our lives of faith with others, in our small groups, in our relationships, and your friendships that you have with other Christians. We strive to be real and open and honest with each other. We don't make our church or our relationships or our friendships places where people have to seem strong and together to be able to do it on their own. Instead, we admit our places of struggle and our experiences of weakness and those times that we haven't been strong on our own, because it's those times that share the truth of a God who has worked his way to us. We don't have to work our way to God. We have a God who works his way to us, a God who in Christ sacrifices power and strength to be one of us, to be humble and vulnerable and weak, and in that show true strength by being here with us, to suffer with us. So stop trying to do it all alone. Give up trying to work your way to God. You don't have to pedal uphill. You don't have to be strong alone. God has always been moving towards us. Jesus has worked his way to us, even in our weakness, our vulnerability, our humility, our pain. Jesus is here. The work is done, and the good news is here. For the scripture, that hymn, it ends victorious, as we're told. Therefore, God also highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, free us from trying to work our way to you. Instead, help us trust that you have always been on the move towards us, that in Christ you are here, that in Christ you have suffered alongside of us, that in Christ you have known and experienced, like we do, a humility, vulnerability, a weakness, and that you walk alongside of us when we experience that too. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.